Hi, Katie. Yes, hold on, please, one moment.
Hello, this is Elliot.
Hi, it's Katie with Judge St. Eve. I'm going to transfer you to the court speakerphone, okay?
Okay, great, thanks.
One moment. C-3643, Simon Bernstein Irrevocable Insurance Trust versus Heritage Union Life Insurance. Good morning.
Good morning, Your Honor. Alex Marks on behalf of Jackson National Life Insurance, successor to Heritage.
Good morning, Your Honor. Adam Simon on behalf of plaintiffs.
Do you identify yourself on the phone, please?
Good morning, Your Honor. Elliot Bernstein.
You're here on plaintiff's motion for leave to file an amended complaint. Have you seen the motion?
I have, Your Honor.
And do you have any objections?
Yes and no. I'll explain. I think it needs a little bit more background for the court and how we were intending to handle it or address it. It probably is best if I start a little further back than the motion to amend. As you know, as a life insurance company, we have no stake in this matter. We don't have a horse in the race. We don't care who gets the money. We just know we owe it to someone. Usually what happens in situations where you have two parties contesting, which is we received a claim from an estate counsel down in Florida saying we're wanting the proceeds of this policy, and then Mr. Ellie Bernstein, who's on the phone, wrote a letter to my client saying we don't distribute it, I'm contesting. Usually what happens is we file an interpleader action, tender the funds to the court, cooperate in discovery in any means necessary, and then we get out.
Yeah.
There's no potential liability beyond the proceeds of the policy, and we were headed by the estate counsel down in Florida. That's what we were intending to do, and we were preparing to file the interpleader action in Florida when Ted Bernstein up here through counsel Adam Simon preempted us and filed a lawsuit suing Jackson for breach of contract. We're a little unclear why initially that they did that, given our representation that we were going to file down in Florida. And my understanding was thereafter there was a dispute between counsel and counsel down in Florida, with counsel down in Florida asserting that there wasn't even authority to file the suit up here. We weren't privy to any of that. The suit was then filed. We removed it to federal court. We've never seen a copy of the trust at the time we removed it. After the suit was filed and Mr. Simon didn't attach a copy of the trust to his complaint, we inquired thereafter, do you have a copy of this? We never saw it. We don't know if it was even in existence or signed. He said he would get it to us, and as part of the 26A disclosures, which happened in October, Mr. Simon tendered an unsigned copy of the trust, which was the first time we saw that document. After we had a chance to review that document, Article 11 of the trust indicates that the trustee of the trust was Shirley Bernstein, Simon Bernstein's wife who predeceased him. The successor trustee was then David Simon, who is Mr. Simon's brother. He's never been asserted as the purported trustee of this purported trust because we still don't have an executed copy. But my assumption is he declined to act, apparently. The next provision of the trust then says that if either of the foregoing individuals fail to act or decline to act, then the successor trustee has to be or shall be a corporate entity. So I recently called Mr. Simon and said, you know, we finally had an opportunity to review this document. We obviously would have named the purported trust as a potential beneficiary because they are on the record, so we don't contest that they are a potential beneficiary, but a trust can't litigate on its own. It has to litigate through a trustee.
Correct.
I said, we're confused why you continue to assert that Ted Bernstein is the proper trustee to pursue this action, including having sued us, because as we read the trust document that's unsigned, we think it has to be a corporate trustee. Mr. Simon then said to me on the phone, well, it's complicated. I'm not really at liberty to say, but it's basically family politics. And I said, well, what does that mean? He wouldn't tell me further, but he essentially said, hold off on anything because I'm going to be amending my complaint. He's now filed the motion for leave to amend, and the proposed amendment says, well, basically 4/5 of the children who are the potential beneficiaries of the purported trust are are in agreement that Ted Bernstein can pursue this on behalf of the trust. Well, the problem with that is the provision he cites for authority to do that is from an Illinois Trust and Trustees Act, which does allow the majority adult beneficiaries of a trust or a policy or will to appoint a trustee for the trust when there is no successor trustee provision. So if this would have said, Shirley Bernstein, you can act, and if not, David Bernstein, and then it was silent, that would make sense. Here, though, it's very clear we think that it has to be a corporate trustee. If the trust that he continues to assert is the official trust and the proper beneficiary, if that document is what he says it is, well, then it has to be a corporate trustee as a successor. The reason we care about this, as I said from the beginning, I don't have a horse in this race, and I think his client is potentially the beneficiary, meaning the trust. But he's begun to serve discovery on us. He sued us with an affirmative claim. My client's position is that we don't think we should have been sued to begin with, but we certainly don't think we should be responding to discovery and an affirmative claim by the improper party. And we've now seen other entities, creditors and so forth, who are seeking to intervene, have also made the same objection that there's a potential issue about whether this trust exists or is the proper trustee proceeding forward. If there was a corporate trustee in the case, perhaps they wouldn't be interested in suing Jackson as a party and would just be asserting a claim for the proceeds. So our thought was, what we intended to do was, if the motion to amend was granted, and we were probably by dispositive motion going to be responding to the amended complaint, both to address the claim against Jackson that's being brought by, we think, is the improper party, and then also we think there's other reasons for us at this juncture to get out of the case, including that we've already tendered the funds to the court, we've provided all the documents we have in our file to all the parties. If there's a deposition that's needed, we're certainly happy to cooperate, produce a corporate representative. But there's something going on that we don't think is perhaps kosher about that. If proposed amended complaint, I'm certainly receptive to the court to hear how the court might think it'd be best to deal with that issue. But we do see that there's a potential issue in Ted Bernstein continuing to pursue claims on behalf of the purported trust, because the trust document we've now received doesn't seem to give him authority to do so.
Is the trust document, Mr. Simon, that you turned over to Mr. Marks, the valid trust that's at issue in this case?
There are two different drafts that are unexecuted trust documents. We will present testimony of David Simon, who has seen but cannot locate the executed trust, and Ted Bernstein was designated as the trustee.
So do you have an executed trust document?
We do not. That's part of it. If we did, we would not be here today.
You said there are two drafts that are unexecuted.
Right.
Just answer my questions, and then I'll give you time to explain, because
okay.
I want to make sure I understand.
Yes.
Did you provide Mr. Marks with both?
Yes.
Unexecuted drafts.
Yes.
Do both of them have this provision that regarding a successor trustee and that it shall be a corporate entity?
I don't believe that correctly represents what happened here. I'd have to go back and look if they both do. I have them with me. If we want to pass, I can take a look. But what we're alleging happened was the trust was in fact executed at the law offices of Hopkins and Sutter, and following that, David Simon saw the document, and Ted Bernstein was put in place as the successor trustee. And again, to short-circuit all of this, first of all, I think we've been sandbagged by Jackson. They've had the trust documents since we did our Rule 26 disclosures in September. They received our discovery, asked for an extension of time, and then only then made an trustee, Ted Bernstein as individually, July Antoni, Lisa Friedstein, Pam Simon, and I guess that would resolve his issue because he certainly would have to respond to that.
I'm not sure that would resolve Mr. Marks.
I don't think it does. And frankly, I take a little issue with Mr. Simon somehow accusing us of sandbagging. He files a complaint that he doesn't attach any trust documents, so we have no clue whatsoever what it states. We immediately call him after we remove it because we have
all immediately.
Wait, not interrupt.
We have a time deadline in terms of removal. We remove it. There, after some point, I call him. I said, do you have a copy of this trust? He says, no, I'll get it. Or, yes, I'll get it to you. A month or two goes by. We finally get the 26A disclosures in October. It took us some time to research and look into this issue because we were trying to figure out what happens in the case where you have a trust being asserted by, but there's no copy of the trust. We also had to look at the trust provisions. I worked with counsel in my office who does estate planning to determine what happens with this will. There were various issues, including what law would apply. When we finally looked at all this issue, I called him in December and raised the point about Ted Bernstein as the purported trustee in a very candid discussion. He then gives me a cryptic answer about it being he's not at liberty to say why potentially this would happen and why Ted Bernstein's there.
He called me in my car.
Mr. Simon, please do not interrupt. I will give you time to respond.
And then we get an amended complaint which seems to concede that the original basis for Ted Bernstein being inserted as the trustee was not proper. The original complaint said he's the trustee pursuant to the terms of the trust. Now we get an amended complaint saying, well, that wasn't really correct. I didn't raise this until you called me out on it. Now we're going to have the adult children appointing him as the trustee. So I certainly don't like the assumption or the assertion that I'm sandbagging anyone. We don't care. My client doesn't care who we pay. We just want to make sure that we have all the proper parties, we're responding to proper discovery, and we're happy to cooperate in any way possible. And I've told Mr. Simon that in terms of discovery, once this issue gets resolved, I have no problem proceeding in assisting the court and the parties to determine the proper beneficiary. But there's something doesn't add up, and perhaps I just read it wrong, but I thought every copy of an unsigned trust that he gave me had this provision in it about having to be a corporate trustee. I didn't see anything else that says Ted Bernstein somehow was appointed after the trust was executed and after David signed and saw it. So that's all news to me. So I'm certainly not here standing in bad faith or somehow sandbagging opposing counsel. I think, frankly, it's quite the opposite at this point.
Did you get two drafts of unexecuted trust?
I did, and perhaps I just misread it wrong. I thought both had this provision. And if it didn't, and I just quickly scanned it, and I mistook them one for each for both, then I apologize for that representation. But even if hypothetically that's true, that there's two unsigned copies, at a minimum, I know one has this provision in it, and I don't know which one was actually executed or which one was signed or which came after the other. So certainly there's that issue whether it should be a corporate trustee.
Have any depositions gone forth regarding who is the proper trustee here?
I can't speak to that because that's down whatever's going on in Florida or with that the trust. The only thing in terms of this case that's happened is Mr. Simon did issue a 30B6 deposition notice by Ted Bernstein. My client's happy to comply and produce a party, but it doesn't want to go through two rounds of discovery. And
right.
If I'm responding to discovery by the improper party, I don't want to then, when a proper trustee becomes part of the case, decide they want to do their own discovery, I don't want to be having to produce someone twice. So he wrote me a Rule 37 letter last week, or maybe it was a week ago. I'm going to be responding to it, and essentially that's what I'm going to be saying is that I think this needs to get addressed first. Do we have the proper trustee in place? Once that gets addressed, we're happy to produce a 30B6 representative. Frankly, I don't know how much they're going to know because, again, this was a policy we inherited when we succeeded from Heritage Life Insurance Company, but we're happy to produce somebody that's most knowledgeable. But I'm not going to do that when I think it's at issue. And it's not just Jackson that has put this at issue, but other parties as well, including the potential intervener, who's saying we don't think there's authority for this going forward at this juncture. It hasn't been established. We don't have a signed copy of the trust, and the unsigned copy I have, I don't see anything about Ted Bernstein being the trustee.
And should Heritage still be the named defendant?
There is no more Heritage.
Right, that's why I'm asking, because they are
I think at one point I talked...
Let me just finish the question.
Sorry.
they are the named defendant. And since there is no more Heritage, I'm not sure that that's proper.
That was never made clear to me that there was no more Heritage.
I don't believe there is. I think I, at one point when I, when we had done the removal, I think I spoke to your clerk or someone in the office that the caption had to stay the same because of the removal.
I'm not talking about the removal. I'm talking about the First Amendment complaint naming the parties before me.
Oh.
And the First Amendment complaint named Defendant Heritage Union Life Insurance Company, not Jackson.
Understood. I can't speak that. My understanding is that Jackson bought out Heritage. So
there's no indication that Heritage no longer exists. I've never been provided anything by Jackson or Heritage to suggest to me that Heritage no longer exists.
Have you named Jackson?
Doesn't
look to me like you've even named Jackson.
I could add Jackson. I'm happy to do that.
I'm not telling you to. I'm not giving legal advice, but if Jackson has the policy, it just seems odd to me that you haven't named Jackson.
Well, Your Honor, it's a little bit difficult when the policy itself is also lost, and you have to, it was originally issued by Capital Bankers and went to the Lionstar, and then, so to put that burden totally on us, I don't think is it fair or accurate.
You're bringing the lawsuit, are you kidding me?
We brought the proper parties, they responded, they interpleaded on behalf of Heritage, and they've given us nothing to say that Jackson owns it or dissolved it. It's still a company. So I don't quite, and they won't respond to my discovery. So I think it's a little unfair to put all that burden on me when they have all the information. They won't respond to our discovery. I've tried to amend the complaint. I've added accounts for resulting trust, which means the beneficiaries themselves are now plaintiffs. I can amend my deposition notice if that's what the court would like. I'm not just seeking relief now on behalf of the trust, but creating a resulting trust as an alternative count. I'm a party. I can, as a counter defendant, I can depose him. So if you'd like, I'll amend the complaint to add Jackson. I'll withdraw this.
It's not what I like. I'm not giving you legal advice.
Okay.
I'm just raising a question.
That's fine. I would, you know, based on your question, I would feel more comfortable if I added Jackson.
Mechanically, the name defendant originally was Heritage Life Insurance. We filed an appearance on behalf of Jackson National Life Insurance Company, the successor in interest to Heritage.
Correct.
We produced our entire file, like 1,400 pages, of every document in Jackson's possession, which they inherited from Heritage, that relates to this policy. I'm not going to give counsel legal advice either. That's where we stand at this point in terms of the parties and what we've done to try to facilitate everyone figure out who the proper beneficiary of this policy is.
Okay, here's what I'm going to do. I am going to grant the motion for leave to file a First Amendment complaint. I am denying Elliot Bernstein's motion to strike the amended complaint that was filed yesterday before I even ruled on this motion, but I will give you the opportunity to answer or otherwise plead to the amended complaint. I am receptive to Mr. Marks' argument, though, that we need to determine who the proper trustee is before going too far down the line. So I'm going to direct you to prioritize and engage in some discovery on that particular issue, because you have named Ted Bernstein. If it turns out it should be a corporate trustee, then everything falls apart and we'll be back where we were.
Again, if you're granting me leave to file the amended complaint, then I would just like to clarify, because the draft I've attached does not include Jackson, but the court's suggestion, I would like to...
I have not suggested. I have raised a potential issue. If you want to seek to amend your complaint again, then you probably need to do a little bit of research and figure that out. But I'm granting the motion you just filed. I'm giving you until February 3rd to answer or otherwise plead. I know there are still motions pending, including Mr. Bernstein's other motion to strike, which I'm, there's a reply due today, I will rule on that as quickly as I can. I'm going to strike your January 22nd status because I don't need to see you that quickly. And have you come back on February 6th.
Sorry, just to clarify, did you say that, what was the brief you said? Did you say?
There's a reply due today on the motion to intervene. Okay. That was filed back in December.
I've already filed it.
Excuse me, Your Honor?
Yes.
Will I get a chance to say anything?
I'm going to give you the chance to respond to the amended complaint in writing by February 3rd.
Okay.
You can move to dismiss it at that point if you would like. If you have want to add anything on the trustee or otherwise, go right ahead.
Well, I was confused about one thing. We all just talked about this trust, which is a contingent beneficiary, and it's come to my attention that the primary beneficiary, LaSalle National Bank, is still a trust that exists, and therefore that whole lost trust, whatever, drafts that are unsigned, whatever, doesn't even really matter if the primary beneficiary is here. And I think there is evidence that they may have not been notified, and actually some, you know, you denied my motion, but within that it explains quite a bit of what happened pre this lawsuit that instigated this lawsuit. And so I'll refile. Is that what you're saying? You struck it, and then I now have to refile based on your approval of the amended complaint, so basically just refile that?
No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying you have until February 3rd to either answer the amended complaint or seek to dismiss it if you have a grounds to dismiss it on. But if you're raising factual issues that I can't resolve without a hearing or some type of trial, then that's not a basis to move to dismiss a complaint. I cannot make factual determinations in deciding whether or not to dismiss a complaint. So if you're saying this trust isn't any good because there's another trust out there that they don't know about, I can't make that determination just on papers in responding to a motion to dismiss.
It's also not okay. Sure they have been served. LaSalle was served and they have not responded or they disclaimed.
I'm going to be within, I would say, a week or two. I'm working on a good agreement with both Bank of America and JP Morgan Chase, and I'm going to voluntarily dismiss them. I don't believe they're going to be claiming any interest, so that will take care of those two entities.
Okay.
And that'll address the issue Elliot Bernstein raised about some of the documentation indicates that the primary beneficiary said LaSalle National Trust or something like that, contingent beneficiary, Simon Bernstein Trust. So obviously the primary beneficiary is going to be disclaiming, or purported primary beneficiary is disclaiming an interest, or has been served, is going to disclaim an interest, and we're going to be voluntarily dismissing them from the interpleader.
Okay.
So,
and I don't think they've been named in the amended complaint, it's just in the interpleader.
But there was one thing I wanted to raise, Your Honor, and pardon if I didn't quite understand what you were trying to drive at when you said that the party should engage in some discovery in terms of who the proper trustee is.
Yes.
Obviously, everything related to that wouldn't have, in terms of Mr. Simon serving us with discovery, we don't have any knowledge about who the proper beneficiary is, or excuse me, who the proper trustee is. One of the things we were thinking was we're going to potentially, in response to the amended complaint, filing a motion to dismiss and or stay until that part is determined. But I'm not certain how we can facilitate that unless we start doing our own investigation trying to determine that. I don't know if that's something that potentially should be just brought to the court for a hearing before we do anything further.
If you want to file a motion, you certainly can. I think you need to issue some discovery requests and probably take some depositions.
Okay.
With respect to that particular issue.
That's fine.
But if you want to bring a motion, you certainly can. So you're back here on February 6th at 8:30.
One last thing.
Yes.
I represent multiple parties here. My clients would like to do discovery. We'd like to issue an amended 30B6 notice. How is that not proper?
I haven't said it. It isn't.
Okay.
Your Honor, before I got cut off, I had just one more question. Adam said he's representing several parties. He's been sued as a defendant along with his brother and their law firm, and they failed to respond at this time to the complaint that I served them. And, you know, I don't know the rules on default, but, you know, he got served. He accepted it. He's cherry-picking who he wants to represent. He's not...
I believe the response is due January 17th to your motion to disqualify.
No, not that. He hasn't responded to my original complaint. I mean, he's failed, and his brother, I sued them both in their professional and personal capacities, and they failed to tender a response, which is a default. As you know, I'm not a lawyer, but, you know, usually if I don't respond to a complaint timely when I'm served, and I have, you know, you obviously know he's been served, he should have put a response down as a defendant, and he didn't. And it kind of makes, you know, that's the other motion. I won't get into that right here, but, you know, certainly I would like to know if all the parties who failed to respond to the original complaint at all, who are mostly attorneys, are defaulted at this point.
I don't have the docket before me. Mr. Simon is saying he responded. So if your motion seeking default, I am not sure you raised that in your prior motion. If you did, I will address it.
I believe it's
docket 35,
Your Honor.
Yeah, I listed out who I think defaulted in my last the motion I filed yesterday, and sorry for filing it so late. Oh, by the way,
One second, Mr. President.
Okay, no problem.
1 second. We're trying to figure out the answer to your question.
Okay.
I'm sorry. Yeah. Docket 47.
At docket 47, there's an answer to the complaint. So you should look at the docket, Mr. Bernstein.
I did.
Right, final point, and then we're done.
Okay.
Go ahead. You had something else to say?
Oh, Ted Bernstein. I don't believe that's a legal name. And so this whole, you know, the original and amended, and this is his brother's brother-in-law. So I'm sure he knows
right,
his
you're
name.
You're going to have to, if you want to move to dismiss, you can certainly put that in.
Okay, gotcha.
I'll see you February 6th.
Okay, thank you. Have a good day.
Have a nice day. So the 22nd is strictly.
Yes. Thank you.
Mark. Pat.